This evening I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 all the way through to 34. Do not worry. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about what your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and body more than the clothing? Look at the birds of the air, neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And you, are you not more of value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the fields, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what we will drink, or what will we wear? For if the Gentiles strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. And God always blesses the public in reading of his inspired and infallible word.
Are you ready? You can leave your Bibles open or your iPads or your phones on, because we're going to be digging into this incredible scripture. It's Jesus talking. It's right in the middle of the Sermon of the Mount. And we're going to draw from this some incredible lessons. So are you ready? Are you ready for a journey? Now, I want you to be really honest with yourself. Don't worry, I won't be asking you the answer. But in the morning, what do you look for? Like, what's the first thing that you look for? It might be a person. Is it a person or is it a prayer? Do you reach for your Bible first? Maybe you reach for your peace. You're like, I've got a busy day. I'm going to reach for my peace first. Or is it your phone? Sometimes people, you have your alarm on your phone. So you say, Pastor Sam, it's all right, my alarm's on my phone. Some of you have your Bible app downloaded on your phone, so you say, I'm reaching for that. But come on, be honest. Sometimes that's the first thing, isn't it? You hear a notification go, maybe the alarm hits, but there's a notification. You think, what is this? You know, it could be a news feed. It could be a WhatsApp. I'm not on WhatsApp, praise the Lord, but WhatsApp goes a lot in people's lives. Yeah. Oh, I saw a hallelujah, I'm with you at the back. Yeah. But yeah, WhatsApp, it goes a lot, right? Notifications, they go a lot, right? They get your attention sometimes straight away. Before you've even started, they're saying, give me your attention. They are, you know, and we can then start sometimes reacting to the day, can't we? We can find ourselves, you know, like starting, maybe there's a news feed and there's comparison. And before the day started, the day starts to sit in comparison. Or, you know, maybe there's the pressure of someone saying, hey, I need help, or can you do this, or a job. And our day then starts in pressure, right? Sometimes that happens. And we live in a culture that is full of pressure, right? Pressure to provide, pressure to succeed, pressure to secure our future, pressure to hold everything together. And it's into this that Jesus speaks here. Could you imagine getting a crown? Not one of those, you know, paper ones that you get in the cracker at Christmas. You know, maybe not even a crown that's one of those prop crowns. I'm talking about a real crown. I'm talking about a golden crown. It's gold. And you pick it up and you think, I'm going to put that on. And you're given this crown and it's a lot heavier than you thought. And I say to you, hey, put it on. Because tomorrow you're going to be in charge of the UK. And you think, oh, all the things that maybe I would like to do. What could I do if I was in charge? And you put the crown on your head just to try it on for tomorrow. Just think, but it's a lot heavier. Did you know the crown is like over 2 kg? And in fact, I looked this up. You can fact check me if I'm right or wrong, but I believe it's the crown from Thailand is the heaviest crown in the world, just over seven kgs. That's like heavy, right? And so you put on this crown, you thought this is going to look nice and this is going to look tasteful, and you realize the weight of it, and you're trying to keep it on your head and you don't want it to fall and break. And then all of a sudden I say to you, oh, it's your job to make sure that nothing bad happens tomorrow. You think, oh, the crown that looks so nice, it's heavier than I thought, and now it comes with more responsibility than I'm used to. And I don't know about you, I don't know how well you would sleep that night. You know, maybe some people don't have a problem sleeping, but the worry that tomorrow, it's all on you. And the fun of, oh, I could do anything I liked, changes into the pressure of, wow, nothing can go wrong tomorrow. And sometimes we live our lives, and it's into this that Jesus speaks. That he says, what does he say? Therefore, I tell you, do not worry. You're going to help me tonight. Is that okay? It feels better and goes faster if you help me. Is that okay? You're with me. Awesome. So good. And he says, do not worry. So this is not Pastor Sam saying, do not worry. Jesus says to us, do not worry. And you might have heard people say that, you know, in the Bible, it says 365 times, do not worry. Unfortunately, it doesn't say it quite that number of times. Do not worry, do not fear. It does say it hundreds of times. But not quite as many as sometimes we're led to believe. But it does say, do not worry. And here in this passage, I don't know whether you counted them, three times, Jesus says, do not worry. And just the once he says, seek first. In fact, it's the only time in the whole Bible that we see these two Greek words coming together here. And you think, oh, I'm a curious reader. Anyone else a curious reader? When you read the Bible and sometimes you're like, why is that there? And what does that mean? And sometimes when I open God's word, I end up with more questions than I do answers. But so tonight we're going to look at a few of maybe the questions that I have around this. But I just see these two incredible points. Do not worry and seek first. 4 weeks ago exactly, we started our responsive conference, and Pastor Malcolm, our senior pastor here, started to unpack the kingdom, and he's done it so well, hasn't he? And 4 weeks on, we're looking at this, which is about living in with the kingdom as our priority. Seek first. And you have these two ideas, do not worry and seek first. And my curiosity around this was just like, what is the connection between these two? I don't know whether anyone else was asking that, but I definitely was. I was asking, Lord, what is the connection between do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what will you drink, or about your body, what you will wear? Yeah, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? What does that have to do with seek first? And because Jesus is in the middle of his Sermon on the Mount, he's sort of in full flow when he's saying it. You notice the first word that we read in verse 25. What's that first word? Therefore. So whenever we read therefore in God's word, there is something just before that we need to bring into our understanding of what's going on. Is that okay? Are you with me? So therefore means that Jesus is speaking about something, but he said something that we just need to reference. And so if in your Bible or on your iPad or phone, just flip to verse 24. And what do we read? I don't know about you, but in my Bible, it had this heading, serving two masters. And Jesus says, just before we hit this, he says, no one can serve two masters. For a slave will either hate, strong language, the one and love the other, or will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth in my version, money, mammon in some other versions, that you cannot serve the two. And so, okay, we're looking at do not worry, and we're looking at seek first, but we need to frame that with this. No one can serve two masters. Yeah? And we see here, like, Lord, what are you saying to us here? You might think that's obvious. You can't serve two things. And then Jesus goes on to explain that we have two masters there. One is the kingdom and one is the worry. Can you see that connection now? You can see how that sits. And Jesus isn't addressing, when he says, do not worry, he's not addressing lazy people who just don't care. In fact, it's the exact opposite. He's speaking to mainly Jews at this time, but it's very relevant for us today. He's speaking to people who were striving people, that they are responsible people, that they are caring people, that they are capable people, that they are assertive people, but also they're worried people. And he's teaching us not to worry. And it's not just emotional overload that he's talking about. I know sometimes the things that we worry about, we just say, it's just too much. You know, you may have said that to a friend or you're sharing on the phone, just like, it's too much. He's not teaching us just about the emotional overload, but he is teaching us that worry is spiritual misalignment. So he's speaking about the kingdom. Seeking the kingdom first is about realigning ourselves. And here in this passage, we see these two themes. And as they stick out, hopefully tonight, we will start to see the connections that they have. And so we've looked and framed that no one can serve two masters, right? And that's not just a random placement, it's specific. That we can't serve God and money, mammon, or wealth. That we can't serve two rulers or two authorities in our life. That we can't have a divided allegiance. That our allegiance needs to be singular. And it's interesting that the word there for master in the Greek is kyrios. Say kyrios. Kyrios. Wow, look, we're learning Greek together. Isn't that great? And that means Lord, ruler, supreme authority. And we'll come back maybe to that word a little bit later. Two masters, Kyrios, Lord, ruler, supreme authority. And so Jesus, before he is addressing the worry, he's addressing the worship. Because worry is misplaced worship. Worry and seeking, these two rival masters, Kyrios, these two rival things that as we look to live out a life in the kingdom, that this is something that we continually need to address. And so we've got now this framework, the two masters. We've got therefore do not worry, that's one of the masters. Seek first the kingdom. And we might look in a moment at just some of that. And this is deliberate. Jesus is presenting two ways of living. Mammon, self-control, self-security. Maybe you look at your bank balance and if it's healthy, you think, I'm good. And if it's not so healthy and there's not as much in there as you think, oh, I need more. But sometimes we can feel like that. But when we do, that leads to more worry. But the kingdom of God leads to peace and provision. Worry can become a functional master in our lives. And it can dictate our thoughts. It can dictate how we feel, our emotions. It can dictate our decisions that we start to make. And it also can dictate our pace, the pace of life that we find ourselves. And when worry drives our choices, it starts to sit on the throne of our life. And this is why Jesus repeats, do not worry. Not because hardship isn't real. And we know that hardship is real, right? I don't have to speak to us about that. We live in a busy city. There are many concerns and worrying things. But just because they sit on the outside, we don't have to let them in on the inside. Worry can reveal something deeper. It can be revealing a fear of not having enough. It could reveal a fear of not being enough. Ooh, a fear that everything depends on you or I. A fear that the challenge is just too big. I can't do this alone. I can't do this. And so, like I said, that worry is not just emotional, but it's spiritual misalignment. When I was a youngster growing up, my father owns a car and van rental business. And so I used to, guess what, I got a summer job. And I used to check in vehicles, clean them and all that. And you know what happened to the vehicles quite a lot? If you've ever rented a car before, that type of things, the wheels would get driven into the curbs. They would receive bumps on the wheels. And over time, the wheels would start to go out of alignment. Now, what would happen is, because at that age, I wasn't allowed to drive the vehicles around, but you'd rely maybe on a customer coming back and just saying, there's something wrong with the steering here. And, you know, that every time I sort of, you know, drive it, it starts to drift off one way or the other because it received maybe a knock going up a bumper, going up a curb, a bump going up the curb. I'm sure none of you drive like that. No? Yeah, okay, a few smiles, yeah. You're like, Pastor Sam, that's how I park. Up onto the curb and back down again. Well, you do that lots of times and the steering goes out of alignment. And this is what a customer would come back and you would turn the wheel and you could see that the perfectly good tire, but on the inside, it was almost totally worn out. And then the tire would need to get, you know, a new tire would needed to be replaced. You know, all of the good tire part, you know, it would just wear out very, very quickly. And so you realize that's what misalignment is that it wears us out quicker than we should be worn out. That maybe you feel a bit like you've received a few knocks and a few bumps and that you find actually I'm being worn out quicker, you know, because of that misalignment. And so when we focus on ourselves and our inability, what starts to happen is the challenge multiplies the worry in our life. But as we focus on the King and His ability, to overcome, what starts to happen is our worry begins to diminish. Amen? Worry that what the mind does when we try and control tomorrow. Isn't it? Because so often, what we worry about doesn't actually come true. It's a very small percentage of what we worry about and what we worry about tomorrow actually comes true in our life. And so Jesus is speaking to us, do not worry about all of these things. And he's not trying to shame us, church. It's really important. I don't know how you read this, you know, because it's a do not, you feel a bit like maybe, does it feel a bit waggy finger, you know, just like do not do this. But actually he's saying it from a place of compassion and love, because he's wanting us to align our lives with the kingdom. And he's wanting us to bring that into our reality. And he's inviting us into a new way of living. We were never meant to carry the worry of tomorrow, today. We were never meant to sit on the throne. And we were never meant to be the king of our own life. But as we look at seek first, that's the other part. So we've got the do not worry, and then we've got the seek first. That we see there that the seeking part, in fact, is mentioned twice in this scripture. It talks about in verse 32, if you want to look at that, for it is the Gentiles who seek all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these, but seek, and that's the second time, seek first the kingdom of God. And the second time, it's what's called the present active imperative, which means that it's a continual thing that we need to do. It's not a one-time thing. But actually, we've got to continue doing that in our life. Seeking first is something that we need to prioritize. And then we see that as we put Him first, that we see His preeminence, which means His rule, His supreme rule. And then we see the kingdom of God. And sometimes the kingdom of God can feel like a big idea, but actually Jesus is showing us how to pull this into the present today. And it's incredibly practical, the things that he's drawing out in these verses for us to read today. I think it's incredible that it says, do you not know that your Father knows that you need these things? Sometimes we can feel a bit like, God, you don't know where I am. You don't see my bills. You don't see my situation. You don't see the challenges. But here we're reminded, our Heavenly Father, he sees and he knows and he's more than capable to bring you through. That he is teaching us an order. He's teaching us that actually when things are in order, when they're aligned, this is what you'll see. And when they're misaligned, this is what you can expect. And maybe let's just have a quick look at what that order is. And we can actually go back to Genesis because Jesus is speaking truth. And I love it when we see Old and New Testament speaking the same thing, because that's exactly where we see the kingdom of God from old and new. We see that present. And we go all the way back to Genesis. God is the creator. Amen. He also creates in an order. And I don't know whether you've ever noticed this before, but Genesis 1 shows us that day 1 to 3, what Jesus does is he forms. And then day 4 to 6, he fills. I don't know whether you've ever seen that before, but light is formed before we start to see sun, moon, and stars. That land is formed before we start to see animals. Sea is formed before we start to see fish. You're with me. Great. Thanks so much. So God forms structure before he creates activity. The order is preceded by flourishing. And sometimes we say, but I'm not seeing myself flourish walking in this Christian life. Well, might I be so bold to suggest that maybe it's because we're living with the wrong order. And Jesus is trying to help us here. He's speaking kindly to us. Sometimes we look at this and, when we're honest, we read this and we said, you know, all of these things will be added to you. And you think, well, that would just be the bare minimum. But you know something that is amazing? Slightly earlier, he compares to Solomon, doesn't he? He compares the grass, doesn't he? And the birds of the air. And he compares them to Solomon. It's interesting that he chooses Solomon, right? Solomon was incredibly wealthy. Solomon knew the abundance of God in his life. You know, there's other people Jesus could have chosen. He could have said, actually, God knows all what you need and it's going to be like John the Baptist. And if you know about John the Baptist, he lived in the wilderness. God sustained him. He ate locusts. He wore sort of animal furs to keep him. It might not be quite the lifestyle you were thinking of. But don't you find it interesting that Jesus uses Solomon here? And sometimes we come to these verses with a poverty mindset, with an orphan mindset. When actually Jesus is trying to show us there is an abundance here. And by the way, I'm going to liken it to the richest person that the Jews would have been able to relate to. When they look through their history and their heritage, and we read that the Queen of Sheba came and she was astounded with his wisdom and all of the incredible gold that he had. One person said that he had an income of about $1 billion every year. I don't know whether that's right. Fact check me. But I thought it's just so interesting. This was an incredibly rich person. And Jesus uses that person to say two things about. One, the created is even greater than that person. I'm going to look after my creation. And then he's reminding us that you are created and I know you. I know what you need, but you have to put first things first. So this is all about an order, right? This is not about the do not do this or do this. This is, because he doesn't say you can't have those things. He just says, get it in the right order. Because when we put worry on the throne, we start to have to wear that crown ourselves. And why we think, oh, it's great to be able to do what I want, when I want, with whom I want. But actually, he's calling us back. There is an order. And we see that in creation. In the beginning, God created. God is first. It's the first person that we're introduced in the Bible. We know this so well, right? And then he shows us that we were created, what? In his image. That we are bearers of the image of the triune God. How beautiful and amazing that is. And that as we follow his instruction, that we can live in the abundance of the kingdom. So then when we ask anything in his name, amen? And you start to realize, the promises align with this. And you see, the world would tell you, that if you've got to have things, you've got to work. And if you work to have, you will become someone, right? That's what the world will tell you. But actually, heaven is the opposite order. You are an image bearer of the living God. You are the person first. And then he has an assignment for you. Ah, I've got something to do. And then all of these things, all, say all. Great, you're with me. Half of you are with me. Say all. That's right. He says all these things will be added to you. So have comes after the being, the doing, and then the having. Whereas the world would tell you, have, work hard because it's all on you, and then maybe, just maybe, you'll become someone. I don't know about you, I want to live the kingdom way. I want to live the kingdom way that sees me not needing to worry about tomorrow. It's beautiful, it says, because tomorrow brings worries of its own. So it actually tells you where worry sits. Where does it sit? In tomorrow. But today, I don't need to worry, but I do need to put him as the King and Lord of my life. And so we realize that these two masters, worry or worship, it's all about thrones. Who is on the throne of your life? And Jesus is gently asking us. He's explaining to us. He's being practical, not just an idea of the kingdom. Let's bring it into today. And so we're all tempted by worry. You don't have to try too much to imagine the things that you're worried about. Hey, tomorrow is Monday morning. Anyone get the Monday morning feeling? We all get it sometimes, right? You might not want to wake up. You just think, oh, I've got a busy day. Here we go again. It's Monday again. But let's not worry, right? Let's allow the master. Do you remember the Greek word? Kyrios. Hey, great memory. Very good. A star. Well done. Very good. You see, when our greatest desire is outcome, God's greatest desire is identity. And so the real question is not, are you busy or are you ambitious or are you responsible? The question is, who is the Kyrios? Who is the master of your life? Who sits on the throne of your life? Because whatever is first shapes everything else. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. It's one of our family's favorite. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Earlier, we were singing about trusting in God in our worship, which is so beautiful. Colossians 1:18 says, Christ must have preeminence. Romans 14, verse 17 says, the kingdom is righteousness, help me out, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace and joy. And it's so interesting, isn't it, that we're told to seek first the kingdom of God. My curious head said, why wasn't it the king? Seek first the king. You know, like the first commandment, love the Lord with all your heart, your body, soul, mind. Why isn't it the king? Because the kingdom has a king. Yeah? And his righteousness is the character of the king. And so when we think about practically, what does that look like? You know, for each one of us. Kingdom says, Jesus is Lord of my future. Righteousness says, I don't cheat, even if everyone else is doing it. Kingdom is, God defines me. Righteousness is, I don't join in the gossip. Kingdom is, I trust him with my outcomes. Righteousness is, I still work hard without panicking. And so seeking first, we see the authority of the kingdom and the character of the king. That's called discipleship, isn't it? When we start to see his character flowing through each one of us.